Taped from New Jersey, it's the SNL Nerds, the show where two comics from New Jersey nerd out over Saturday Night Live. I'm your co-host, John Trumbull.
And I'm your co-host, Darren Patterson.
Woo! Happy anniversary!
We did it! Yay. Happy anniversary! Happy anniversary! Happy anniversary! Happy anniversary!
Yay! That's going to sound really weird because it's probably going to be overlapping with our theme song when Frank finishes editing this episode.
You know what? You're probably right. I didn't consider that.
Yeah.
You know, this is only the 50th time I'm doing this. 51st time.
Yeah.
You know, after the 51st, 52nd time, that's when I got.
We're really going to have the hang of this.
That's when I'm in the rhythm.
Yep.
So.
Yep.
But yeah, this is our 1 year anniversary episode. I almost said issue.
Extravaganza.
I almost said issue, like it's a comic book.
Issue, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. We've been doing this for a year now.
God, I know. We started October of 2018.
Yeah, well, October 1st, 2018. But, you know, yeah. I mean, officially it's October 1st and it's coming up before that.
Yep.
But,
yep.
You know, when October 1st rolled around, that's when the first episode of the new season coming up. So we celebrate now. Celebrate early.
Yeah. They said it wouldn't last. We proved the naysayers wrong.
That's right. They laughed in our face, spit in our eyes.
I don't know anybody who actually did that, but
oh, was it just me? What the fuck was that?
I think that was just you.
Was that a hate crime?
Yeah.
What the hell?
It probably was. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. And speaking of hate crimes.
Oh. That was good.
Making transitions is, I think, maybe become my favorite part of doing the show.
It's, oh my God, I look forward to it.
On the day our last episode dropped,
yeah,
there was a big news story.
Big hullabaloo, big kerfuffle.
That last week we commented on the Shane Gillis situation that happened, and then it became this whole thing. Like he was one of the three new cast members, new feature players announced
right.
for the show for the upcoming season.
And then, literally 5 hours after they announced it, Shane was embroiled in controversy.
Yeah. A journalist tweeted about, he said these things on his podcast, and
maybe
this isn't somebody that SNL should be hiring, and it became this whole thing.
Yeah, and then we talked about it in the last episode, and I said, you know, it's a shame, and like, I didn't think anything would come of it. Like, I think I said that, you know, they would probably address it in the show, mm-hmm. but I thought he would still be on the show.
Because that's traditionally what they've done.
Yeah, exactly.
And no, this did not happen. Like, 4 days later, on Monday, he was let go. He was fired from SNL.
And I'm still pretty shocked. I really thought, like, SNL would have just stuck to their guns, wrote it out, and, you know, made fun of it, and just rolled with it, but I don't know what to say. I'm aghast.
It's very surprising. I still don't know if I have a horse in this race. I don't know if I would go as far to be like, oh, it was the right thing to fire him, or no, they shouldn't have fired him.
We both see it. You know, I guess it's a gray area in a way, but you know, and I mean, the world of comedy. If you listen to everybody's on social media, it's like either you're with us or against this type of thing. It's like one of those things that's really dividing the comedy community. Either you're on the left saying, yes, of course, he should have gotten rid of me, he's a racist and blah blah blah, or you're on the other side where like, no, freedom of speech, you can say what you want. And I don't know.
And I see the point of both of those.
Yeah.
I totally do. I mean, I do think you should have the freedom to say pretty much whatever you want to say on stage.
Yeah.
But at the same time, that also does not free you from the consequences of your free speech.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, Lenny Bruce, that was free speech. His free speech was being imposed on. Like, he was like literally saying something and getting arrested for it.
Right.
But like, if you're just saying what you want to say into a microphone and people are, you know, tweeting mean things at you, that's not like a freedom of speech. You're not on the front lines, really.
Yeah, you're not like a big social crusader or anything.
Yeah.
And if you want to say stuff like that, like, have a point.
Yeah, it just seemed like he was just kind of like I said, we listened to it and it was it wasn't really a joke. It was just like a conversation. It was just like kind of meandering, looking for a joke type of thing. It was just like open mic ramblings.
Yeah, yeah.
It was like, I mean, I'm down for defending jokes, but I don't know. I mean,
and we are certainly down for rambling conversations on podcasts.
Oh yeah, that's our bread and butter.
Yeah,
my God. So what I heard from one rumor was that I think SNL asked Shane to apologize. Mm. He declined, so then they fired him. But that's just a rumor.
He gave that sort of non-apology apology.
Oh, right, yeah.
Where,
so
I'm sorry if you were actually offended. And
right.
I read that on the show last week.
Oh, right. And, well, so after this, he also put out another tweet saying...
Oh, yes. This is something else.
This is something else. It feels ridiculous for comedians to be making serious public statements, but here we are. I'm a comedian who was funny enough to get SNL. That can't be taken away. Of course, I wanted an opportunity to prove myself at SNL, but I understand it would be too much of a distraction. I respect the decision they made. I'm honestly grateful for the opportunity. I was always a Mad TV guy anyway.
That's kind of a lame joke to end your thing on.
Yeah.
Honestly.
It is. Even the joke could use a polishing up.
I went and I watched. I was curious about Shane Gillis's stand-up because I hadn't heard of the guy before he was announced for the show. I hadn't seen any of his stand-up. And my YouTube suggestions, his Comedy Central posted like a 6-minute chunk of his stand-up, and I watched it. I did not like it much. I didn't. I wasn't especially impressed.
Yeah, but see, I mean, the thing is, I'm kind of worried about now. Like after all this, I mean, he's going to get way more. Like people say, like cancel culture is canceled. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. Part of me thinks like that doesn't really happen that much. Like you still get to work and stuff. And I think with something like this, he's even going to get to work more.
Is going to be part of his brand now.
Yeah, like you never heard of him until like you this.
Yeah.
So now you went and checked him out. So I'm like, everybody's going to do that. And I also feel like a lot of people who are on his side, like, you know, mm-hmm. they free speech, you get to say whatever you want, free speech. Like, they're going to just put him on shows now. Like, you know, the Nick DiPaolo's and Anthony Cumia's of the world. And like, you know, just put him on their show and he'll be like part of their brand now. And they'll like, he'll like tour and under that umbrella.
Maybe. It'll be interesting to see where his career goes and what he does with all of this. I do still kind of wish that he had gotten a chance on the show.
Right. Because like another thing that they said was that they wanted to have him on because they wanted like a more conservative view.
Yeah,
which was interesting.
They wanted like some of the they didn't feel like they were serving the red states enough or something like that.
Yeah, I mean they really weren't like a lot. I mean that whole. I mean if anything taught us that is that you know Kate McKinnon Hallelujah mm-hmm. after the election.
Yeah. Yeah,
like that was like oh.
We talked about that before.
We did.
A lot of people love that. I did not. I don't. I like it when the show is funny. I don't like it when the show is sentimental.
Yeah, I mean, I appreciate the sentiment. I really do. Like, because as far as a comedy goes, comedy show goes, I was like, I don't know if that's the right move.
Yeah, I mean, like doing something like that after 9/11. Yes, absolutely.
Right.
That's totally justified. After Hillary lost the election, I don't know. It didn't.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a Trump supporter. I mean, we're not Trump supporters in any
at all.
Sense of the word. But like,
no. We look forward to him dying in prison.
Yeah, I look. If the FBI is listening to that, I did not say that.
Prison. That sentence ends with in prison of natural causes.
Okay. All right. Please don't tap my phone.
Yeah.
But So. But like, as far as like a comedy go shows, it should be kind of something that like kind of caters to a wider audience, I guess.
Yeah, you want a twist to it. You want to and you do want comedy from multiple viewpoints, and,
right? So I mean, that's why they figured they'd give Shane a shot. But then it's weird that like, all right, we want a more conservative view, but then they, you know, they heard what he said, so it's like, oh, not that conservative view. So or maybe because they like. Like all the the liberals, the lib cuck whatevers, they like kind of kowtow to them and like out of room. So now they still have their liberal, like kind of staff.
I think what really helped it blow up was the fact that they had also announced Bowen Yang was going to be a cast member. So and you know you have somebody who uses a slur against
I mean, it's weird. No one asks what Bowen. People ask what Bowen. What they thought.
I don't know. That's a good question. I have not heard him. I mean, God, I feel for the guy.
Yeah,
because he's probably been inundated with requests to comment on it, and
he probably has.
And there's, I don't see any upside for him commenting on it.
Yeah,
honestly, because he's like brand new cast member. He'd been a writer at the show before. brand new cast member, right. But I mean, I don't see anything that he could say that would make things better for him or for the show in general.
Yeah,
you know,
I guess it's the biggest thing. I guess the best thing is to kind of lay low and then hope it all blows over. Because like, if you say something, and then like all the Twitter trolls come after you,
or if you're
like,
going to say something, just say it on the show. I mean, do a segment on Weekend Update, your first episode, and
that's the best
talk about that. And I wouldn't be surprised if we see that at next week's season premiere.
Yeah, that's the best platform, I guess.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sure they'll mention it. I'm going to say they're either going to mention it in the cold open or the Weekend Update. Or maybe the opening monologue, but I don't know. But I don't know. Well,
I feel like it has to be addressed in some fashion during the premiere.
Yeah, they're going to address it somehow, some way.
Even if it's just a throwaway joke.
Yeah, they gotta.
You gotta address the elephant in the room.
Yeah, that's true. But, either way, Shane Gillis, I think, is going to be fine. He has his little fan base now. They'll support him. And, I don't know, people kind of support, like, just comics that kind of share their views now, I think. I find it a lot.
It'll be interesting to see how much he steers into that curve, you know?
It would be really hilarious if, like, the whole, you know, alt-right, you know, fan base he got. But then he went with his comedy totally alt-left or something like that.
Well,
like he'll make jokes about his white privilege or something like that, and they're all like, oh, this isn't what I wanted.
Because, I mean, I didn't get the sense that he's, like, this hard right guy, because, like, on the stand-up segment I watched from him today, he even talked about, I didn't vote for Trump. You know, I look like I should. It was like, I look like his target audience, but...
That's true. Yeah, that's the thing. Like, I think, I mean, again, I don't know much about him, but he seems like a guy who, he's not a hardcore liberal, but he's not a hardcore Republican either. So it's, but now that hardcore Republican audience is like claiming him. So it's going to be weird to see like how he's going to deal with that.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know.
Well, I don't know.
He's going to be in Jersey in November, so we got
that.
Oh,
well, hey, there you go.
There you go.
Based on what I saw, I don't think I would plunk down money to see him personally. That's just me.
Well,
That's my personal taste.
Well,
but,
now he's never going to be on the podcast. Way to go.
Okay.
Burning bridges.
He could have told us so many stories of those 4 days.
Right?
I
mean, my God, that could have been a two-parter right there.
That's a shame.
Criminy.
A shame. But anyway, that's a thing that happened.
So that's happening. And Shane Gillis, no more. Shocker, and we'll see what happens.
And honestly, at this point, I'm kind of sick of hearing hot takes about it. So
yeah. Like, I mean, I see it on Twitter. It's like people are just, I don't know, people are really divided about this. It's like no, if you don't think he shouldn't have gotten fired, you're a blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, if you think he should have gotten fired, then you're a hater of free speech and, you know, George Carlin rolling over in his grave and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah,
it's just like,
that's
wasn't it supposed to be about funny?
That's when I punch out. That's when I'm facepalming right now.
Yeah, he really is. He's rubbing his eyes. He's rubbing his eyes like he's been up all night.
Yeah, I kind of was. But anyway.
Oh.
No.
Hey.
Okay. There was a James Bond marathon on Turner Classic Movies, okay?
Oh, all right.
So.
All right. But, I don't know. It's comedy. It's supposed to be about joy and fun and making people laugh. This ain't a war.
Can't we all just get along?
Right?
Can't we all just get along?
Did you just come up with that? That's pretty good.
Yes.
Wow.
I came up with that.
Huh.
All
right, copyright that.
That's not going to come back and bite me in the ass at all.
No.
Don't Google any news stories from 1992. That's all I'm saying now.
Hope you don't know Dish for SNL anytime soon, because that's...
Anyway, moving on.
Moving on to happier things. Phil Hartman.
Wow.
What?
I think we could have Frank do like a supercut of awkward transitions.
Oh, that'd be fantastic.
And that would be up there. As we are recording this on Friday night, because you're going out of town this weekend. So we're recording it a little early. We usually record on Sundays, but
I'm jet setting.
Yeah, but last night on Thursday night, ABC aired a special called "The Last Days of Phil Hartman."
Yeah,
that was a 2-hour special about Phil Hartman in general.
Yeah.
And they covered a lot of his career.
Yeah, yeah, the Pee Wee Herman, Pee Wee's Playhouse.
Right, thing. And you know, getting on SNL and news radio and, right, right, and all that. And they talked
Simpsons voices.
Yeah, and they talked to people like from his life, and then they also covered the unfortunate circumstances of his death.
Right. Julia Sweeney was interviewed.
Vicki Lewis from...
Vicki Lewis? From news radio?
From news radio, and Andy Dick.
Yeah,
how'd
they get Andy Dick? He's a hard get, isn't he? Andy Dick, call in.
I mean, Andy Dick, he usually seems so publicity shy, but somehow they got Andy Dick to go on camera and talk
about... No, he's like Sade. You can't find him anywhere.
But it was interesting. I really realized like how much I didn't know about this story or how much I'd forgotten about this story.
What'd you learn? What'd you?
Well, I'd honestly been misremembering it because in case you don't know, Phil Hartman, his wife, Bryn Hartman, had apparently like some
she had a bipolar, I guess?
Probably. I mean, I don't know the diagnosis, but she had her troubles.
Yes.
She was on Zoloft. She had some substance abuse problems with alcohol and cocaine, and they had a troubled marriage, I think it's fair to say.
Yeah, there were a lot of arguing, a lot of arguments. Bryn, his wife, was extremely jealous.
There was some resentment that he wasn't helping her career.
That was a big thing.
She was also an aspiring actress, or an actress, I guess I should say.
Yeah, one thing they mentioned is, in the opening credits, of SNL, Phil Hartman, and they show, Phil talking to a woman.
A blonde woman,
and then Phil looks at the camera and goes, "Hey, I'm Phil Hartman."
Right.
Like, the woman he's talking to is his wife.
Right. And they were saying...
That I didn't know.
When they directed that segment, she was, trying to turn, so she was showing on camera. And they were like, no, Bryn, this is Phil's shot. Turn your head so that we don't see your face.
Right.
And apparently she had just turned her head, and her earrings are swinging back and forth in that shot. So
that's a
neat little bit of trivia.
Yeah.
And also a little peek into what their marriage probably was like.
I think Phil was just constantly looking for projects to put Bryn in, even though she wasn't the best.
Yeah, they were talking about after he'd left SNL, he was going to do a variety show, and they were talking about someone to play his wife on the show, and they were suggesting Jan Hooks.
Right, yeah, because they have great chemistry.
They had a great chemistry. They were wonderful together on SNL, and Phil was like, "Oh, well, we could have Bryn." And one of the writers was like, "Well, is she funny?" And Phil Hartman says, "Well, she's funnier in her own way," which not the best endorsement from someone's husband and who is a professional sketch comic.
Define funny.
Funny in her own way.
Funny, haha. Funny.
But I mean, it was interesting watching it. It wasn't too, it didn't get too trashy. I didn't think.
Not too trashy. Yeah, I mean, they tried not to make it look like a like a tabloid type of thing.
Yeah,
but, tried to be respectful and everything. But at the same time, I mean, the circumstances around his death were pretty horrific.
Yeah, I think I got sidetracked when I was talking about it before. She shot Phil Hartman while he was asleep.
Right. That I knew. I remember. I know he was in bed when she shot him.
Yeah. And then a few hours later, she killed herself.
Right. Because she went to somebody else.
She went to a friend's house.
A friend's house. And oh my God, I killed him.
Yeah.
And
that I didn't know about.
That I didn't know about either.
Yeah.
I was whoa.
That was, and thank God the police were able to get the kids out of the house.
Right.
And they were safe. And they mentioned them towards the end, and the kids are grown now because they were 9 and 6 when this happened, and this was in 1998, and they're in their late 20s, early 30s now, they're doing all right for themselves, but they're very private and respecting their privacy. They didn't even show pictures of what they looked like now, which was nice.
That's fair enough. But yeah, I mean, I didn't even know if the kids were in the house when all that went down.
Yeah, yeah.
Whoa.
It's...
Yikes!
Yeah, it was. So it's a hard watch.
It is, but I mean, it's interesting. I mean, I guess not interesting, but it's interesting in the same way, true crime.
Yeah, I mean, people are fascinated with the dark stuff
that.
And I mean, it's just a shame that he was a wonderfully talented guy. And it's such a shame that his life came to such an unexpected and sad end.
It is.
It's a bummer. But I mean, I'm glad I watch it.
Yeah, yeah. It's good to know all these little facts. I mean, maybe don't bring it up in like a cocktail party or something like that when you're trying to talk to people.
No, it wouldn't be my first go-to.
Okay. like, hey, sweetheart, you know how Phil Hartman got killed?
I mean, but there's some interesting trivia and stuff about Phil Hartman in there, too, right. About he basically co-created the Pee Wee Herman character with Paul Rubens.
Right, right.
And he...
Captain Carl.
He worked as a graphic designer and did album covers for bands.
Oh, I missed that.
Like, yeah, they mentioned this early on. Ooh. He like started out, he was like a hippie. In the 60s, and they showed some pictures of young Phil Hartman, and he's got a white man fro.
Oh, far out.
Yeah.
Oh, all right. So I'm sorry I missed that.
That was interesting.
Shoot.
And they talked about him in the Groundlings, and they had a few clips and things like that. So okay. it was interesting.
Phil Hartman. I think as we mentioned on one episode, probably our favorite cast member.
One of them. Yeah.
I think we both had him at number one.
Did we?
I'm pretty sure.
I'd have to listen back to that. Maybe we can get Frank to pull the relevant clip if I can tell Frank where to find that.
I'm pretty sure I did. I can't think of anybody else.
He's easily in my top five.
He was the glue.
He was the glue, as
they said.
He was the glue.
He was the glue.
He held it all together.
Mm-hmm.
He held it all together. All
right.
So that was
That
was Phil Hartman. We still miss you, Phil.
Yeah.
And, wish you were still around.
Yeah. We light a candle to you.
Yeah.
Candle in the wind.
But, what else? We were going to talk about...
Since this is the last episode officially the last episode of the summer.
Yeah.
And, this whole past summer we've been doing the movies and whatnot. And fall is literally right around the corner. We thought we'd just go a little rundown about all the summer movies we've watched. It was quite a summer.
We had an interesting summer. We decided, what are we going to do to fill this hiatus on SNL? We didn't want to just stop the podcast dead for 3 months or whatever it was.
No, because we know you folks love us that much. We don't want to deprive you beautiful people.
That's right. That's right. Also, we don't trust you. You're flighty.
That's true.
You could go off to other podcasts.
That's right.
And never come back.
That's right. Exactly.
And, So we're like a paranoid boyfriend, basically.
Yes, exactly. We're like Mark Wahlberg in Fear.
Yes, yes.
Let me into your house!
That's right. I'm going to do weird sexual things to you on the... Were they on a Ferris wheel or roller coaster?
Roller coaster. Come on, man.
That just seems uncomfortable for all involved.
I mean, I never saw that movie, but I know about that scene.
There's a scene in there where he is...
Yeah.
He is performing digital acts on young...
Digital acts?
Reese Witherspoon. I'm trying to think of a tasteful way to say it.
Like stuff on his iPhone? What do you mean digital X?
Yes, he's showing her a new app on his iPhone.
Oh,
that's
gotcha.
What happens in the movie. And
double clicking.
This is like when they're the young ideal boyfriend girlfriend thing, and then he goes psycho. And
yeah.
I've never seen the movie either, but somehow I know that
right?
is a thing in that movie.
It's just in the
how
zeitgeist.
Do I know this?
I don't know, man. It's just in the zeitgeist, baby. I don't know.
How do we both know that this was a thing that happened in a movie we've never seen?
I mean, I do hear it referenced on other podcasts and Doug Loves Movie and stuff. So
okay.
Like, oh, I guess that.
Yeah.
He diddled Reese Witherspoon on the,
on the roller coaster.
On the cyclone or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
So Saturday Night Live movies. So we figured we'd run them down and give our final synopsis of each movie.
And just to clarify, we did not watch the movie Fear this summer, but perhaps we should have.
We should have.
Maybe our next skip week, we will watch the movie Fear.
Yeah, I mean, Mark Wahlberg, Reese Witherspoon, they both hosted SNL.
Sure, that's enough of a connection.
There we go. We're off to the races,
and
people.
We've obviously got material to talk about there.
I know. My God. I mean, the roller coaster thing alone is like a half hour.
That's right.
Holy hell.
That's right. So let's run down what we had. We started way back in episode 35. We kicked it off with the Blues Brothers.
Yeah, and that's Frank Cablai who was here.
Yeah, yes.
And, I mean, still holds up.
Still holds up. Probably the best of the direct spinoff movies of SNL, I would say.
I would say.
Yeah.
Well, it's one of the top... best spinoffs?
When I say direct spinoff, I mean something that spun off from an actual sketch on the show.
Yeah, it's one
of
the...
What we covered, the first 11 weeks of the summer.
Ah, gotcha. I would say so. Absolutely.
So that was thumbs up. And then the next week we had Wayne's World.
Wayne's World still holds up. I like it.
Still funny. I don't think it holds up as well because it was a very topical movie.
That T2 joke.
Yeah.
Like at the time when I saw it, I thought like, oh, it's hilarious. But now I like it. I'm like, I watch it now. I'm like, oh, okay.
Oh yeah. You know. Oh, I remember that was a thing in 1992.
Yeah. I had to remember Newprin all over again.
Right. Right.
Little, yellow, different.
Yeah, like certain gags might not work for you if you don't remember very specific ad campaigns of the early 90s.
Right, exactly. Do you remember Reebok and Newprin and, I guess Pepsi, people still remember that.
Yeah, I think people still remember
Pepsi.
Okay,
all right, Pepsi. Well, that doesn't really play it anymore.
So what do we have next?
Coneheads.
Coneheads. What do I remember about Coneheads?
A lot of Jersey connections. That's cool.
Yeah, yeah. It was vaguely based on that animated special that we discovered in the research.
Vaguely.
Dan Aykroyd beats up Chris Farley for getting too handsy with his daughter.
That happened. Tim Meadows was in it for a split second.
They go off to Remulac at the end.
Yeah. They abandon David Spade there.
That sounds like a good plan, sure. Yeah.
Michael McKean's in it, I think.
Yes, he was the INS agent, and David Spade was like his sidekick.
There was a Subway tie-in for Subway sandwiches.
I remember that, yes.
That's about it.
They made it a good 10, 15 years too late.
Yes, that was a big deal.
That was the big thing.
Yeah, I mean, as far as the movies go, this was okay. It wasn't much to write home about.
Yeah.
Wayne's World 2.
It was fine.
Yeah, it was fine. I mean,
enjoyed it. We replaced Rob Lowe with Christopher Walken.
Yeah,
that's at least a lateral move.
Yeah, it was weird, like seeing Walken play it straight. He really wasn't. He really didn't have any.
I enjoyed Walken in the movie. I liked seeing him dance with Cassandra. And
yeah, of course.
And at a certain point in the movie, I was like, Cassandra should just go with Christopher Walken.
Yeah, I mean, they look
be so, with Christopher Walken. I think that's just a good guide for life.
They look so happy together.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let them find love.
Yeah.
It's Pat the movie. Then Stuart saves his family.
This was probably the low point.
Yes, this movie was
not just of the summer, like of our lives.
Yeah, this is the worst it'll have. This movie is just it just stinks on ice.
I mean, we knew that they were not going to be particularly good movies, and they were not.
No, like I mean, at first when I saw it, I was like, oh well, at least it's short, but it doesn't feel short.
No, and I think It's Pat was the movie where I was like constantly checking the counter when I was watching it on my computer, and it was like I was constantly checking it like every 10 minutes.
Like a cellmate putting on like marks on
his
wall.
Exactly. Because like
I'm going to be free.
Each 10-minute chunk felt like about 30 minutes.
It's only like a 70-something minute movie, but it feels way longer.
Yeah.
It's Pat is just... I mean, it's not even worth it to watch it just to see how bad it is. Like, you know, like how sometimes movies can be like bad but like a fun kind of bad.
Yeah, a fun goof,
or just like bad in like an interesting way to see how bad it is, but it's just like, the movie's just bad.
Sorry about that. I must have hit a button and I started playing one of the episodes that we're about to talk about.
Oh, wow. So, you're so narcissistic. You got to hear yourself.
Well, no,
your old episodes while you do an episode.
I had the list of the movies up, and it's easiest just to scroll through it on the phone.
It's like, I want to hear what gems I had on this episode.
Well.
But It's Pat the movie. It's just avoid it at all costs. It's
not
just,
good.
Even if you like Ween, don't watch it.
Yeah.
I love Ween, and I hate
this Ween movie. Ween is in that all over that movie, inexplicably.
Yeah.
That's a strange thing.
Yeah. Oof. Boof.
Because I barely remembered Ween.
You are? They drove up in a car that said Ween on the side?
No, I just mean I barely remembered them before I saw them in this movie.
Oh, gotcha.
Because they're not really much of a thing anymore,
as
far as I know.
They have their diehard fans.
Okay.
The Mollusk album's pretty tight.
All right.
You know, I'm just saying, man.
No judgment, Ween fans. I just had personally not thought about them for quite some time.
Chocolate and Cheese is pretty legit, bro.
Okay.
Check it out.
All right.
I don't know where that came from. I'm sorry. I don't know.
Is there anything else we want to say on Stuart Saves His Family?
I think I like this one a little bit more than you. Like I found it was a lot more serious than I thought it'd be, but I found that interesting. It didn't turn me off that much. But I do understand how it was weird how like they build this movie to be a comedy,
mm-hmm.
but it's more of a dramedy.
Yeah, they probably didn't market it right.
No.
I know Al Franken and Harold Ramis were both very proud of it. I didn't think much of it personally. Okay. I mainly remember people getting electrocuted on roofs. And
oh yeah, falling off roofs, and there was that intervention at the end with their dad.
Yeah,
that like they're trying to get him to stop drinking, and it doesn't work. He doesn't stop drinking, and like it's a very somber, real moment.
Yeah.
I was like,
yeah.
This is like too real for a comedy.
Yeah, and
but yeah, it's. I don't know. I mean, I thought it was interesting. You could watch it and see what you think, but it was definitely, it's not like the slapsticky comedy you might be expecting.
No.
Not at
no.
all.
No.
But this did give us that cool Al Franken, Stewart sketch on SNL where he cursed out the audience.
Yeah.
That's
always fun.
Yeah.
That's always fun.
It's like you can either watch my movies or Bad Boys, but you're probably going to watch Bad Boys because you're dumb.
Yeah. Yeah. That
so
was fun.
There you
fun.
Go. That nice little bitter saltiness.
Yep.
Yum,
yep.
Yum.
Let's see. Next we had Blues Brothers 2000, which was made in 1998. I just want to note that again. Blues Brothers 2000 released in 1998.
You guys, they were so close. So close. Like, one. Yeah, this movie is not good.
This was, I think one of our big lessons of the summer was it is very, very tough to replace John Belushi.
Yeah, absolutely.
We learned this in Blues Brothers 2000. We learned this in Delta House. We learned this in the Wired movie.
Yeah, he was irreplaceable. He's a
tough shoes to fill.
You can't just be overweight and wacky and do cartwheels.
Nope.
And think you're going to be the next Belushi.
Nope.
It takes a lot more than that, baby.
Nope. I mean, they had John Goodman. They had Joe Morton from Terminator. They had the kid.
That little kid.
They had some
Blues Traveler was in there. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
still, you just others. Fill that void for that entire runtime.
They had Dale Hammond there for a minute.
Yeah. But there was some good music.
The music was good. Like that one like super group moment where like all had all those like Eric Clapton and Jackson Browne. And
I think we concluded that it skip the movie, get the soundtrack.
Yeah, just watch a blues concert.
Yeah,
that's way better than
or that. Yeah. Yeah, or just listen to any blues musician.
Yeah, support the arts. Goddamn,
you don't necessarily need Dan Aykroyd there to hold your hand.
Yeah, just go to Memphis and watch a concert.
Go find your own blues music.
Yeah.
Next we have
Night at the Roxbury.
Night at the Roxbury. I think I like this a little more than I was expecting.
I think I did. I'm trying to remember if I liked. I thought it was okay. Like it was. It was. It didn't offend me. It didn't wow me. It was just like right down the middle.
Yeah, yeah.
And this was like one of the movies I saw in college. I remember that, but I was like, oh, okay.
This was kind of interesting because this was right around the time that Chris Kattan's biography came out, and I read a good chunk of that for this episode. And
scandalous.
Yeah, we found out about how his friendship with Will Ferrell fell apart, and he talked about all the. Actresses he's dated or tried to date and stuff. Chris Kattan really wants us to know that he has game.
Yeah, he got around. I was
he
like,
got around.
He has like that David Spade game. I'm like, whoa.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Wow, the short guy.
And you know something I learned on the Phil Hartman special last night? Like Phil Hartman had a lot of game, apparently.
I guess he's
married three times.
He's a good looking dude, has a great voice.
Yeah. Yeah. I can see him being very charming. Yes.
Like, hello there, ladies. That's my Phil Hartman.
So next we had Superstar.
Superstar, yeah. This was
Catherine Gallagher with our friend Natty Bumpercar guest starring.
And I recall both of you did not like this, and I was like, this was okay. I like this on the same level that I like Night at the Roxbury, but you seem to like this less.
No, I didn't like Superstar.
Huh.
Superstar didn't really work for me.
I mean, what was it?
I think the main thing is a little of that character goes a long way.
Okay.
A 5 minute chunk of Mary Catherine Gallagher, that's about right.
All right.
90 minutes or whatever. It's
all right, that's fair enough.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't like it enough to defend it to the death, but Yeah, I hear what you're saying. But then we got a better movie, The Ladies' Man.
The Ladies' Man.
With Chris Lambert came in to talk about it. And,
right.
Yeah, I remember this is a movie that came out. It didn't do well, but I remember, again, watching this from my college newspaper, and I was like, oh, this movie's all right.
Yeah.
You know. I mean, I like 70s musics and afros and talking about the butt.
I enjoyed moments of The Ladies' Man. I think The Ladies' Man had potential.
Yeah.
And again, Tiffany Amber Thiessen in lingerie.
Yeah, we went off on that.
You can't go wrong with that. Go wrong with that.
We almost had a whole other podcast just about that.
We did. We did. we went on a journey.
How can I describe a lady as lovely as Tiffany Amber Thiessen?
So next we had...
Shall I describe her to it as a summer day?
Next we had MacGruber.
Yay!
This was an episode that went on for so long. I think we are somehow still recording it.
Yeah, This might be the longest episode we ever did.
We were like, were we pushing 2 hours?
Yeah,
on this one?
We were 4 minutes shy of 2 hours.
Oh, good
and
Lord.
Again, I apologize to everyone. I apologize. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no.
Sorry, not sorry. You know what? I'm not sorry.
No, you're not sorry. You are not sorry.
MacGruber is a goddamn phenomenal movie, and everybody should know about it, all right? Thank you.
I will not apologize. Thank God
I
enjoyed MacGruber, because it would not bode well if I... Just for me in general, if I did not like this movie as much as you did.
Yeah.
I don't think I like it as much as you did, just because I don't think that's possible. But
yeah, of course. It's fantastic. It's a fantastic movie, and I don't feel like I need to explain why.
But that was the last of the official SNL spinoffs. So
yeah.
We still had a few more weeks to fill, so we decided to just kind of vamp for a few weeks, and we went with Animal House.
Of course. How can you not go with Animal House?
Comedy classic. Definitely the best movie that we watched this summer, I would say.
Yeah, all right. I mean, I would say MacGruber was good, but
You're putting MacGruber over Animal House?
Oh,
holy crap, man.
I'll watch Animal House again, but I mean...
Holy crap. People give him grief on social media about that.
What have I said?
That is not right.
I'd like to apologize for my outburst.
Right. I want to smash your copy of MacGruber like Belushi with a guitar.
Don't you dare. Don't you dare.
Wow.
All right. Well, now I'm not going to get on SNL.
Wow.
This comes out. Oh, my God. But, no, Animal House is great.
Animal House is great.
You know, Toga smashing guitars, Otter in a plaid suit.
Yes.
That's great.
Yes.
You know, food fights.
Food
and
fights.
Zits and whatnot. Negroes taking your dates.
Yes.
I mean, it's got it
all.
That
is also a thing that happened.
It's got it all.
Yeah.
Crying out loud.
That was another thing we learned this summer is John Landis, as a director, he knows when to deploy the Negro bomb.
Yeah, he does. Oh, that comes up dialogue. Again in other movies.
Yes.
It is a funny word, I'll admit.
It is a comical sounding word. If you just devoid it of all context,
yeah.
Negro is a funny sounding word.
The Negro took our date.
Especially when it's Stephen First. Yeah. I mean, come on.
Next up, we talked about Delta House.
Delta House. This was
Delta House. Delta House, gonna go down to the Delta House.
That theme song grows on you, doesn't it?
It really does.
Yeah, it is catchy.
Makes me bite my bottom lip and like fist pump, like driving down the turnpike.
Yeah, this was an interesting failure, I would say.
That's a way to say it. It was what it was.
We had about 4 cast members from the movie carrying over, a bunch of new people, a young Michelle Pfeiffer, Zero Mostel's son, Josh Mostel, who looks eerily like Josh Gad.
Yes.
Yeah,
very much so.
And it's all on YouTube, or all but one episode is on YouTube.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
A lost episode.
Yeah, there's like one episode that's didn't surface. But you got a young Michelle Pfeiffer in there, so
yeah, there you go.
So you enjoy that.
What else do you want?
Then
we talked about Wired.
Wired,
ooh,
the John Belushi biopic. This was, I wouldn't say this was as horrible as something like It's Pat, but it's just so freaking bizarre.
It's bizarre and like scattered all over the place. It's like an art house movie. I'm just like, what is this?
It's just a weird concoction.
It is like I feel like I think I said before in the episode, like the one thing that a biopic should do is help you understand who the guy or girl they're talking about, like
right.
it's supposed to help you have a better understanding of the person.
And yeah.
After I watched it, I didn't feel like I knew anything about him. It just seemed like very kind of trite and contrived, and like how they were doing, playing up like, oh, he was like a tragic hero or like a, you know, tortured artist. You know, he loved his wife, but they didn't really get into that love that much, but they got more into his drug use, and he just seemed like just tortured and tormented, really. And it just...
The thing I can't get over is that it had the two different framing devices. It had...
That's the one... That's
Bob Woodward investigating the life of John Belushi, and also John Belushi's cab driver guardian angel leading him through his life.
His Puerto Rican... played by a non-Puerto Rican. It's like, why are you doing this? This makes no sense. Stop it. Stop it.
It's such a weird movie. I mean, were they doing lines of coke when they conceived of this movie?
I don't know.
I mean, maybe they did. I mean,
it was 89. It was like coke was on the down. Yeah. So maybe this is like the last.
Yeah, maybe they were doing the next big drug or whatever it was by then.
What was big after? What, Molly?
I don't know.
What were the kids doing in 89?
I was a repressed white high schooler in 1989. What the hell do I know about cocaine and Molly?
I don't know. Airplane glue?
I was living in Nashville, Tennessee. I didn't know. I was not exposed to this world.
All right. All right. Fine. Guys, call in. Let us know what they were doing in 1989.
Yeah. What were your drugs of choice in 1989? Yeah. We're curious.
Tweet us your favorite narcotic.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, like those two framing devices just... You choose one or the other because the two together just
such a weird
is confusing.
Movie.
Confusing. It's just like, I don't know. I still hope they someday make a good, you know.
Yeah,
biopic.
I think there could be a good movie to be made.
Yeah, but it's,
out of John Belushi's life, and I think enough time has passed that you wouldn't be offending as many people,
right.
With it.
Yeah, you just gotta get everybody's blessing, families and friends, and like you could. You know, really showcase this, you know, talent that was taken away too soon. And
make
a good, but this ain't it. Wired is...
No, you know, that was
not. It's not, it's Pat Bad, but it's
swing
pretty,
and a miss.
Pretty close.
Swing and a miss. Yeah.
Then we went on to Trading Places.
Trading Places!
Yay! I hadn't seen this movie in a minute. And when I saw it, I was like, oh yeah, this movie is there.
It's been a long time since I'd watched this one from beginning to end.
Yeah, yeah. Like, it was good to see Dan Aykroyd in a pretty straight role, and Eddie Murphy was getting like tons of laughs. You could see why he was getting all the funny. And
surprising chemistry between those two guys.
Very much so. And, I mean, I do like what they had to say about, you know, class and, you know, how, you know, the two worlds are different, and, like, how maybe, like, a higher force is kind of keeping it that way, and, you know, nature versus nurture, and, like, it had, like, a lot of interesting social commentary that I quite appreciated. Yeah, see, look at me getting
so thumbs up.
Look at me getting all smart.
Yeah, that was intellectual there.
And a young Jamie Lee, so that's cool too.
Young Jamie Lee Curtis, yes,
you see boobs and stuff, so that's awesome.
You do, because it's a comedy made in 1983,
right.
And I think legally you just had to have some boob shots.
Gratuitous boobs,
yeah,
some gorilla rape.
The A's were big on the gratuitous boobs.
Oh, a chihuahua.
Yeah, and puberty as a kid in the 80s, that wasn't bad for me.
My voice is cracking.
And then
it's time to change.
Just last week, with our friend Brad from the Decomposition Podcast, we did the Three Amigos.
I'm not going
to
do it.
Yeah, you can't. You didn't go anywhere close to the 14 seconds. But,
yeah, I don't want to waste time. But yeah,
but that was a fun movie that holds up well.
Still holds up. Yeah, I mean, My Little Buttercup. I mean, how can you not love that?
That was fun. So, I mean, this was an enjoyable experiment, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. Will we do this next summer? Maybe.
I think there's a lot of stuff to do. And I think this is going to become one of our go-to things to do on skip weeks.
Yeah.
If we don't necessarily have a theme in mind, we can always just do a movie. And
yeah. I mean, there's still... I mean, we haven't touched any of the Adam Sandler movies. We could always do that.
We haven't touched on any of Bill Murray's movies.
That's right! Holy... how did we... What?
There's a Ghostbusters sequel that's coming out next year.
Yeah, people have been telling us to do the Ghostbusters. By people, I mean my sister Melanie. We're gonna do it. Yeah, she's a person. We're gonna do it. But it's Ghostbusters, so we got to do it big.
Yeah.
I mean, it's Ghostbusters. We got to give it the proper respect.
Because we got Ghostbusters. We got Ghostbusters 2. We got the Ghostbusters remake from a couple years ago with the female cast.
Right.
I was even talking about possibly doing the Ghostbusters video game.
Ooh, could do the cartoon.
Oh, geez. I didn't even think of the cartoon. I mean,
we could do the one with the Larry Storch and Ghostbusters with the other guy.
Okay.
Maybe not. Let's not do that.
The old Filmation one, yeah, where they had
the one with the monkey,
and where then they had a gorilla who probably didn't rape anybody because it was kids' TV.
I don't know, man.
But
did they vet that gorilla?
These days, who knows? Who knows? We are going to uncover something heinous about the Filmation Ghostbusters gorilla.
That's right.
And we're all just going to be horrified.
We're going to get people saying, not all gorillas do what you guys are, like Jane right. Goodall tweeting us.
Sure.
Hashtag not all gorillas.
That is the second mention of Jane Goodall on this podcast in as many weeks.
Wow. I didn't realize I did that. All
yeah. Right. We mentioned her last week. I don't think mentioned her during Trading Places, but...
all right. Well,
yeah.
Okay. Well, there you go. Shout out to Jane Goodall. but yeah. Adam Sandler movies we haven't done. Tina Fey movies we haven't done.
I made a whole flowchart thing of right. stuff that we could possibly do. And if you have suggestions, yeah, please just tweet at us at the SNL Nerd Show on Twitter.
Yeah, absolutely.
And let us know. We always want to hear what the people think.
Yeah, we want to give voice to the people.
So what else? What else would we want to do for this? Anniversary episode. We wanted to talk a little about the podcast itself. Right?
Yeah, very much so. Like, you know, I mean, you guys pretty much know who we are and our background and whatnot. And like a year ago, we just decided to do this on a whim after kind of doing Facebook live chatting episodes of SNL, and we were like, hey, this is pretty funny. This should be. We should do this like on the podcast into microphones and stuff.
Yeah, it just kind of evolved. I had gotten in the habit of just live. Well, it's not live tweeting if it's on Facebook, but live Facebooking.
It doesn't sound as smooth.
That doesn't sound good.
Yeah.
But it can be fun to do that, and you say like, oh, I thought this sketch worked, this one didn't, or you make a snarky comment about something.
Right.
And then I noticed after a few weeks, you were like commenting on a regular basis.
Yeah, because like, I mean, I am on like online, I should be pulling back a little bit more, but I am online like a lot. So like I'll watch TV and like I'll have just Facebook open. And then I think I saw you were making comments. I was like, oh, let me comment back. And then like, we were just watching
and it became a regular thing. It got to the point where I would like tag you in it before I started the show, and I would like apologize to people if you were late, if you had something going on that Saturday.
Ladies and gentlemen, I apologize. My partner's on his way. Please, please be patient.
I remember there was like a week or two where you had something going on.
I was out
and
somewhere.
You did not make it, and I was like just doing it by myself, and I was like, this is just not as fun. I apologize, people.
I think there's a couple times where I had to leave a party early. I didn't leave a party early, but like, I left and we had to like, me and my wife zoomed home. And like, I think I just made it one time, like right under the wire.
You burst in like the Kool-Aid man.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. But our producer and our friend, Frank Ablawi, he saw this. He participated in a few of these threads. And he was like, you should make this a podcast. This could be a fun podcast. And
we made it a podcast. We did.
Yeah. And so we were talking about it for pretty much the better part of last summer.
Yeah.
About, well, what do we want to do? What do we want to call it? What kind of format would we do?
Right. And I mean, I think we agreed on kind of something like this, where we just talk about the last episode and it'd be like kind of a casual conversation. And like we'd work in jokes and like, you know, our knowledge of old episodes of SNL and whatever else just comes to our mind.
Yeah, and we just go through it more or less sketch by sketch.
Right.
And we go on some interesting tangents. And
We do.
Yeah. Do you remember any of the other names we discussed for the podcast? I was trying to think of this yesterday.
Oh.
The only other one I can remember.
I mean, I know for the longest time we were trying to think of stuff like using the not ready for primetime players, or like maybe switch that around, like not ready. Or I think because we wanted to like maybe instead of live from New York, tape from New Jersey. It's,
right. Did we talk about that as a title?
I think so. I think we were trying to play around with the idea of like something like a, you know, tape from New Jersey. It's Saturday Night Live or something like that.
Yeah.
But
I remember we had a few variations of the Nerds thing. I think we talked about Saturday Night Nerds.
Yeah, you're right. We did Saturday Night Nerds and Saturday Nerds Live or something. Like,
yeah,
we were trying to do something like that.
Right.
And then I think was it Frank that said?
Well, Frank made the point. Like it would be good to have SNL in the title just for like for branding purposes and SEO purposes and like if people are searching for SNL on a podcast app or even like on a Google search or something, it increases our chances of showing up if we have SNL. And this is getting very technical. Yeah.
No,
and
I mean actually that might be how the guy who actually we never mentioned the NBC News thing.
Oh, yeah. That's, we kind of buried the lead here.
Sorry about that, guys.
The backtrack on the whole Shane Gillis thing.
Yeah.
There was an article on NBCNews.com that went up. Let's see, what day did that go up?
I think it went up last
September 13th, a week ago.
Yes.
And Darren was quoted.
Hey!
In the article. Let's see. The headline is, Saturday Night Live cast members' ethnic slurs forced show to grapple with limits of comedy. And so this was about the whole Shane Gillis thing. This was, of course, before he was dropped from the show.
Before he got the old stanky boot.
But you got a call from...
Yeah, well, basically what happened was... I'm on Facebook and Instagram and all that stuff all the time. And the Shane Gillis thing, you know, dropped that he said these horrible things on a podcast. Friday morning, I was at work, and I got this email from somebody at NBC News saying, hey, you know, I saw that you have a podcast. Like, that's why I mentioned, like, you know, the SNL nerds, like,
right.
We're easier to find. They'd say, oh, I saw you had a podcast about SNL. I'd like to, you know, interview for this article about the Shane Gillis thing. Can I call you sometime? And, of course, like, as soon as I saw this email, the first thing I was like, I thought is like, oh, is this a scam? What is it? Like that, like my native New Yorker just kicked
right.
me.
Right. Oh,
like,
interesting.
Like, all right, what's the deal, fellow? You want my PIN number or something like that? But then, like, I, you know, checked it out, and he's like, oh, he's legit. Mm-hmm. So I was like, all right,
you vetted him? Did you Google his name?
I did. Of course, you got
nice,
it. You know,
nice.
I don't want some, like, you know, Nigerian prince or something.
Sure.
So like I Googled him. I thought he was okay, and I emailed him saying, oh yeah, you know, I'm free to talk. At, you know, during my lunch at so and so, you can call me at my phone. So
and you like texted me. You were like, "Hey, I just got a call from."
I was still like kind of bewildered by it all. But on my lunch break, I talked to him for about 20 minutes about you know what I thought about it. I tried to be as kind of I tried to be as like level headed as possible. I was trying to say how I see both sides. Mm-hmm. And, you know, why I don't condone what he said. You know, I also don't want to. You know, I still believe you're able to joke whatever you can. Yeah, you're able to joke about whatever you want to, but just you have to worry about the backlash, and you have to think to yourself, is what I'm about to say worth it?
Yeah. One of the quotes in the article is, if you're going for an actual joke, you have to be ready for all the blowback you may get, Patterson said.
I did say that.
So that is the thing that he said. And yeah, and you're quoted a fair amount.
Yeah.
In the article.
And then
so
I mentioned like a couple
you
of...
You even have the closing quote in
Boom.
The article.
I closed it out.
Last paragraph. Regardless of what happens with Gillis's employment, well, we know that now, he added, SNL has the chance to build on its success as of late while maintaining its television legacy. And you can do all that while being funny first, Patterson said. Mm-hmm. So that was
so there
that
you
was
go.
Nice.
Yeah.
So thank you to Eric Ortiz from NBC News.
Yeah, he reached out to me and was like, yeah.
Did he say like how he found you? It was just searching for SNL podcasts?
Yeah, or? I think it was just like a random search. He just kind of, you know, maybe found it through our name, like I said.
Yeah.
And yeah, he just randomly searched me. I have no idea who he was. And he was like, hey, I'm doing this article. You want to be on it and give your 2 cents? And I was like,
that's cool.
Sure.
That is cool. Yeah.
There you go. Got me a new credit.
That's a, there you go. NBC News, Darren Patterson. Yeah. So that was cool.
I didn't mean to cut you off. So
happy to see that. No, not at all. Let's see.
So we came out SNL Nerds.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think Frank is the one that gave us that name, SNL Nerds. And it's you know, it's short.
I was thinking I'd come up with it.
Was it you?
I don't know.
I don't know. Somebody did.
I remember there was discussion about it, and I honestly don't remember, and I wasn't really taking notes at the time, so.
Okay. But, I mean, it's a great name. It's short. It's to the point.
Yeah.
It's catchy. It's memorable. You can't forget it. It's just like, it looks good on a t-shirt.
So we're sticking with it.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think that's us.
We do not have t-shirts. Maybe we should have t-shirts next year.
Maybe
we should do that.
All right. But we just thought, yeah, that we're, and we've been, so far, I mean, this podcast has been pretty well, been treating us pretty well.
Has it gone like you expected?
I think so, yeah. I mean, we for one thing, like, we've sort of, you know, connected to all these other SNL fans and all these other SNL podcasts.
That's
like,
been fun. We had John Murray
from
SNL After Party on
yeah, yeah.
For the season ender, And that was a lot of fun.
That was great. And we had to meet friends with the people in that week in SNL, Andy and Tim. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And there's tons of SNL fans that we kind of found out. Like,
and there's a new SNL podcast that's starting up sometime soon. I'm assuming like with the season, and I can't remember the name right now.
Oh, the Standby Line.
I don't think that was it. I'm blanking on the name, and I wasn't all expecting right. to talk about this. So, wow. so I'm sorry. I'll have to look that right. up and mention them.
But there's another podcast called The Standby Line, where these two mm-hmm. women from Connecticut. I haven't listened to a lot of them, but like they're mm-hmm. SNL fans. I think they just got into it like around the Amy Poehler era.
Okay.
So like they
good era to start.
Yeah, yeah. So they do a thing about like how they camp out to stand in line on the standby line for tickets to go mm-hmm. to SNL. And they talk about that and the best way to get tickets for, the show and whatnot.
Which I think is something we have to make a point of doing
year. I mean, we could talk about that too, but like what we're going to do in the future. And like mm-hmm. that is one thing I was thinking about because, John Murray did mention that, you guys live like less than an hour away from New York City.
Yeah.
And neither one of us has ever seen SNL live.
No, I've seen the studio. I went on an NBC studio.
Oh, I didn't even do that
once.
Wow.
It is smaller than you would think.
Okay.
I think that would be neat. It would be a neat experience to have, and it would definitely be a cool episode of the podcast if we go, even if we just go to a dress rehearsal, because they have an audience in there for the dress rehearsal, and then they have another audience in there for the live show.
Yeah, we can see how the sausage is made.
And you get to see sketches that maybe don't make it to air, or sketches that change between dress and air, and I think that would be very interesting, and I think we should try to make a point of doing that sometime soon.
Get invited to the after party, hang out with Pete.
And people will be like, oh, you do that SNL podcast. I've been wanting to punch you in the face for like a year.
No. We're actually Andy and Tim from That Week on SNL.
That's so right.
You're
that's
thinking
right.
about those nerd guys.
Right.
We don't know them.
No. It's, yeah.
So
it's,
Cecily around? Or? Hi-oh.
Oh.
All right, so we put out the word on the Twitter sphere that we're doing this, we're recording.
Yes,
and just if you have any if you had any questions or comments mm-hmm. about our one year extravaganza,
tweet
at us and let us know what's up.
And we got a response from our friends at Decomposition Podcast, who we both guest starred on. My episode of that show just dropped this week. We talked about the Monkey song "Daydream Believer."
Yeah,
with Brad and Katie, had a lot of fun there. Had a friend who contacted me about that. He was saying he was enjoying that. Mm-hmm. But our friends at Decomposition, they asked us, do you have a least favorite host/cast member/musical guest? Anybody that you had high hopes for that really disappointed/impressed?
Oh, wow.
So that is a...
He wants us to trash people.
That's a big, big question.
I mean...
That's tough because I try not to... Like you say, I try not to bash people too much.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't want to just harp on, like, oh, this person really sucked, because that's not fun to listen to.
Yeah, that's true. I'll say one. Somebody I had high hopes for that really kind of... I mean, off the top of my head, that Steve Carell episode, I was like, ugh.
Yeah.
Which is weird, because Steve Carell's amazing.
Yeah, that should have been great. And he's hosted before, and done a nice job hosting.
Yeah.
That was an off episode.
It was very off. I was like, what is going on here? I don't know if it was like the stuff he was given, or the writing, or what, but like, I remember watching the Steve Carell episode, and I was like, I don't know, that's off.
Yeah.
And if I guess I'm really being honest, like that Paul Rudd episode, too, which was the final episode of last season, I was like, I don't know. There was some good stuff there, but like, overall, I was like...
Not up to the Rudd's usual standards.
Yeah, it's not up to the Rudd's high standard, but it was still...
See, I was thinking of this show, of this question more in the context of the show's broader history.
Oh, the whole history?
Yeah.
I mean, I can't.
That's what I was thinking. I don't know which way they meant it, but I was thinking about that. I came up with a few names.
I mean, I know there's always a Steven Seagal episode that people think about when they think about
it. Which I barely remember, because that was so long ago, and it's not like one you seek out to rewatch, so it doesn't really, your memory's not really refreshed.
Right. Yeah, Steven Seagal hosted, like, years ago, and, like, it's infamous that, like, no one liked him.
Yeah.
It was, maybe we'll talk about that one
episode. Maybe. Yeah, we could seek it out and rewatch it. But I was thinking about cast members who, like, I had high expectations for, and they didn't work out for one reason or another. First name I came up with, Janine Garofalo,
because
she seems like she would have been tailor made for SNL, and she should have, in a perfect world, I think she should have been on that show for like a few years.
Yeah.
And because she...
I think it's just that era of SNL didn't fit with... If she fit in like maybe any other...
It was bad timing.
It was bad timing.
It was bad timing. She was kind of out of step with what the thrust of the cast was because it was the tail end of the that Adam Sandler...
Like bro.
Rob Schneider. Fred yeah, very... Bro. Chris Farley era. Yeah. And she didn't click with that group. Another one, I would say Ben Stiller.
Yeah, I mean, he did he leave on his own accord? Or
I believe so. What I read, I think, recently was, like, he wanted to do more of his own thing. Like, he wanted to do film segments like what Albert Brooks did back in the day.
Yeah, but
the... And the thing that first brought him to the attention of SNL was he did that spoof of The Color of Money.
Oh.
Where he was doing his Tom Cruise impression and John Mahoney's playing the Paul Newman part.
Oh, he does a great... He's a great Tom Cruise.
I think they called it The Hustler of Money, if I remember the name of that. But it's very funny. It's a funny, and you don't even have to have seen The Color of Money to appreciate it. It's funny. Because it's Ben Stiller imitating Tom Cruise, and that's
all you need.
That's always good. I thought he was going to make a bigger splash in the show that he did, but he left very, very quickly.
Right.
I think maybe he just quickly realized it wasn't a good fit for him, and he went off and did his own thing.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair enough.
And he did the Ben Stiller show with...
Janine Garofalo
and Andy Dick and Bob Odenkirk.
They got Andy Dick, the elusive Andy Dick.
I know.
Andy Dick.
And another person who I think his tenure at the show was maybe a little mistimed was Michael McKean. Because he started in the 90s, and I really feel like he should have been on...
That's good.
...in the 80s when, like, the other guys from Spinal Tap
were
on. When, like, Chris Guest and Billy Crystal and Harry Shearer were on.
Yeah, that was, like, that weird time, like, in the 90s where, like, it was before Will Ferrell and them, but, like...
Yeah.
Kind of on the tail end of...
it was this weird transitional year for the show. I think they wanted Michael McKean to be like the new Phil Hartman because it was like right after Phil Hartman left.
Yeah, I can see that.
They wanted somebody maybe a little older who could play, you know, the dad in the sketch or a senator or whatever.
No, that's a good point.
And Michael McKean, stupendously talented guy, but he just didn't make a huge splash on the show. And it was all that same year that they brought in Ginny Garofalo and Chris Elliott was in there.
Yeah, it was Chris Elliott... Chris has his own thing. It's
just
like,
a weird cast that didn't never quite meshed.
Yeah, and like, and to piggyback on that, like I was thinking now that made me think of when Mark McKinney was on.
Yeah,
like he's a great comedic actor, but like he never really kind of meshed well with that group either.
And he didn't. He was only on the show for what, like a year or two, maybe.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah,
but it was just like, I mean, he did that thing the Dandy Fops with
with Koechner.
Koechner, like that's fun to do.
Yeah, that was fun, and that was like an early hit, and so you thought, oh, he's got a bright future ahead of him at the show, and
not so much.
And then for whatever reason, I don't know if he left on his own or if he was let go, or I have no idea.
Right.
Had to research that a little. I guess, but
yeah. So I mean, so that's our stuff about cast members. I mean, if you want musical guests, I mean, I know we all know your thoughts on the Greta Van Fleet.
Yeah. I'm gonna see if I can get Frank to pull that clip.
Oof.
So I did not like them.
I mean, I think what was maybe most egregious to you about that is because, whenever with the musical guests on now, it's another, they're all like these new hip, you know, these hip cats,
right?
That like, you know, old fogies like us don't get. With Greta Van Fleet, we get it. We know what they're doing, and we know they're not doing it well.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, oh, that's just Zeppelin, but not as good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that made you more like
angry. I mean, I was
filled you with hate.
I was coming on to them pretty cold, and I just, yeah, they just, I did not like them. Mm. I haven't listened back to that segment since we first did it, but I guess I'll listen back to it just to prep to see what I said.
Yeah. Oh, you went off.
I did not like it.
You went off.
I like it. Yeah. When I don't like something, I make no bones about it.
You do not like it, Sam. I am. I didn't like that, and it was like, I forget who it was, but it was like this rapper. It might have been Travis Scott, where he was kind of rapping kind of lazily, and there was this woman behind him, like kind of lounging on a merry-go-round horse, and just kind
of odd.
Lazily dancing around.
I remember that.
Yeah, I was like, what is this?
Yeah.
What's happening to hip hop?
That was a weird thing. Yeah. I don't,
as one who loves hip hop and all music, I was like, this is egregious.
Oof. I think the person I was most impressed by musical guest wise was Lil Wayne. I really loved what he did on the show.
That
song where everybody was like kind of was dancing behind him. I'm blanking on the name of the song, but I love that song. I went back and listened to that a few times.
Wow, maybe I gotta go listen to that as well.
Yeah, but that was the Liev Schreiber show from November, and that was a pleasant surprise for me this last season.
Okay, I think I was surprised. I mean, by this past season, I was probably Halsey. I got to say,
like, Halsey.
She
was a strong host. I enjoyed her music. I thought her music was okay.
Yeah, because like I never heard of her really before that, and to see her, you know, perform and do that whole little painting thing on the ground, it's like, oh, all right,
yeah,
all right,
yeah.
And you know, I'll even say the BTS performance, like those the K-pops.
I watched that. I was just like, well, this is not my personal thing, but I can see why they're popular. Yeah. They do. I can see why they've got the fan base they do.
Yeah, they can really cut a rug. They can they got the jitterbugs.
They were very polished performers.
Yeah, it's like, all right.
So
nice. So then we went in, and then we asked anybody else give us any questions here?
I think that was about it.
The first time we said we were going to do this, we asked for like moments and best of, and people just gave us what they thought were their favorite SNL.
That was my fault because I phrased it badly. I said favorite moments from the show, and I thought it would be clear from the context. I was asking for favorite moments on the podcast, but no, people are like, oh no, here's a favorite SNL moment. Yep. And we can't do clips of SNL.
Yeah, no, Lord, no. That's
those licensing fees are out of our price range.
Cost thousands and thousands of dollars.
That's
what the Patreon's for.
Yeah, no, I think somebody asked, like, they were have a compilation of all the times that John brought up he hated Greta Van Fleet.
Oh, yes.
And did I bring it up that much? No. I remember really hating him on that one episode, but I don't remember much. I think, later saying, like, on a scale of, like, 10 to Greta Van Fleet.
Yeah, okay. You didn't say that.
I said something like that, but I don't remember, like, bringing them up every damn week or anything.
No, it wasn't, like, it wasn't a runner.
Yeah.
You didn't bring it up every time.
Yeah. I mean, I honestly try not to hate on stuff that much. I mean, just because it doesn't go anywhere.
Yeah,
you know?
We try to put out positivity and love out in the world, baby.
Yeah.
You know, spread love. It's the Brooklyn way.
I mean, it's like I hated the Californians as a sketch, but it's not really interesting or entertaining to hear me talk about how much I hated the Californians every damn week.
Exactly. We're not Twitter. We're not here for anger. We're here for love.
It might be fun if I go on a rant about it one week, but...
Yeah, just to be angry ranting about it all the time. I mean...
Yeah.
What are you, a Fox News pundit? Come on.
No, I am not.
No, you're not.
I am not.
You are not. You are John Trumbull.
Trumbull.
There it is. All right.
Goal for the second year of the podcast. Have Darren learn my name.
I know. I knew it.
This is good. I don't think we've had any like real huge disagreements over the course of doing this show.
Nothing like too major. I think we pretty much see it eye to eye in a lot of things.
We do. I think enough that it's comfortable for us to do the podcast together, but not so much that it's boring.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
To listen to us. I've enjoyed this. I want to keep going.
Let's keep this train a rocking.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we got the birth of the problematic bell we got. That was a fun. Yay.
There we go.
See, that was a fun little thing that this podcast brought to us.
That was, and you know, with time, I've come to realize I basically like kind of subconsciously swiped that from Opie and Anthony. They used to do the inappropriate bell on Opie and Anthony.
I didn't even realize. Wow.
And like you know, 20 years ago, I was a huge Opie and Anthony listener.
Oh wow, I didn't even recognize that.
I'd kind of.
Kind of adapted it to modern times.
Yeah, I guess I sort of inadvertently stole that from them.
Well, they're not using it. So
that's true. That is true.
What's old is new again. This is the reboot.
But I do like the problematic bell because it prevents us from getting into a big discussion every time something like that comes up. Because otherwise, this podcast could be nothing but that.
Nothing but
like Shane Gillis type stuff every damn week. All types of... You know, it's easier just to go... And move on. Sometimes.
There you go. Yay!
You know, just we acknowledge this. This is problematic. And
So just deal with us.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, we've talked about like favorite cast members, favorite sketches.
Yeah.
We still
have not done our long discussed "Is Chevy Chase an Asshole?"
Oh,
episode. Should we do that someday?
I wouldn't mind doing it.
Yeah,
I think that'd be interesting to our listeners because I think a lot of people don't even. they've kind of heard the tales of Chevy Chase, but for us to really deep dive into and get into it, I think that'd be pretty interesting.
Yeah, and if you've read that book that we've mentioned like a million times on this show, the Live from New York book, the oral history of SNL, it's amazing because like every 5 or 10 years, it's like every cast has its own run-in with Chevy Chase.
Yeah.
And a new story and a new reason of why he was a jerk to them.
Yeah.
And it's perversely fascinating.
Yeah, he slaps people in the face and...
Yeah, we talked about
last week. Bonkers.
So yeah, someday we'll get into that.
Favorite athlete host we talked about, favorite comedian host, forgotten cast members.
That was fun.
We really ran the gamut here.
We did a two-part thing on the Avengers Endgame hosts.
Ooh, that's right.
That was fun. We enjoyed that because that was around the time that Avengers Endgame opened up.
Oh, what a movie.
And
favorite characters, favorite musical performances.
We've hit most of the big themes at this point. So now it'll be interesting because this year we'll have to scrape a little more to get good theme shows going.
It's gonna get tricky.
But I think it'll be fun. I think we'll get creative about it and stuff.
I mean, I think in the future we'll maybe have more guests on.
That would be nice. Yeah, we got to make a point of doing that.
I mean, we're talking to other people from SNL-based podcast. Maybe get them in. Maybe we'll have more of our comedian friends on.
Yeah.
I think we also kind of want to try to get in more guests who have been either on SNL or written for SNL.
I would love to talk to and interview some of the people who've actually been involved with the show. And there was like, we've come close a couple times. But it just hasn't worked out for whatever reason. We don't want to talk about this stuff before.
Right.
It's definite.
I mean, of course, the big get is Joey Mohawk, but he's elusive.
We really dropped that thread over the summer. And,
we really did. Always in my heart, though.
He is. I mean,
he's gone, but not forgotten.
I think we should bring that back. Maybe we could do. I could try and track down whichever episode I first brought up. Mohawk Man.
Oh yeah, Mohawk Man. And then
to look back on the birth of this runner.
Yeah.
But that's been a lot of fun. I mean, that's something I never would have expected when we started the show.
No, not at all.
And that was so much fun to just track that through the season. And
The adventure doesn't end here, my friend.
And it came to a climax at the end of the season. We could not have written that better.
That's right.
Because
crescendoed.
Yeah, because John Murray from the SNL After Party just gave us such a great closer for that.
Ooh, I know.
For the season.
Like, wow,
that was so much fun. Where we found out his actual name.
That's right. But I mean, we can still talk about him. We can still have him on the podcast.
We're going to keep an eye out for him. Hopefully, he's still with the show and still employed. And if you're out there, we want to talk to you.
That's right. The end? ?
That's right.
So we're going to do that. Have more guests on. Maybe would you think about doing a live show? I mean, what would that even be?
I would be up for doing a live show. I think maybe we should wait a little longer to do that. I don't know.
Until we have people that listen?
Yeah.
That would want to show up.
I mean, yeah, to be quite frank, I'm not sure if we have the following for it quite yet.
Okay, yeah.
Like, I feel like if we announced a live show now, we would be like, we're doing a live show at this bar this night. And then, like, two people would show up. And then we'd just...
Oh, Frank and my sister. All right.
And then we'd just be depressed.
Yeah.
And God knows I have enough reasons to be depressed without that. I mean, we'll unpack all that stuff later.
Ooh,
but
boy. all right. So that's it, guys. If you wanna let us know what you want to see in the future of the show, tweet at us, reach out to us.
Where do you want to see the show go? What do you want to see us do more? What do you want to see us do less of?
We have ideas.
What do you like about the show? What do you dislike about the show?
Right. Come on, just open up to us.
Where
talk to us, goddamn it.
Where have we gone wrong? Where have we gone right?
Is it us? Did we do something?
Yeah, that's.
We're very needy.
Should we be standing outside 30 Rock with a boombox playing In Your Eyes?
The light, the heat in your eyes.
Do the people from SNL hate us as much as we, in our heart of hearts, think they might?
They don't. I mean, maybe Chris Redd. Yeah. But like everybody else, I think they love us. It'll be fun.
I don't think Chris Redd hates us. I don't.
I mean, not me.
Was that under my personal account or was that under the SNL?
No, it was under the banner.
It was on, yeah, because so. I... Because on the rare occasions when I'm like tweeting at an SNL cast member, I try to do it under the SNL Nerds banner. Just
get me roped in to whatever you're... Okay.
Yeah, exactly. for plausible deniability. By the way... Speaking of that...
What? Oh, that?
Yeah. Last week, Darren did a thing, because we both tweet from the SNL Nerd Show account on Twitter, at SNL Nerd Show.
Yeah.
And when our last episode went up, the Three Amigos episode...
Oh, boy.
Darren tweeted about it, and because Darren has another podcast called The Virgin Chronicles... He accidentally started our tweet with "New VC is up," and then it was a description of our show, which I thought was hilarious.
I'm so tired.
It was so funny.
I worked so hard. I'm so tired. That was my big old goof. I love that so much.
I cannot tell you.
I can't deny it. I had a brain fart and I did that, and there it is. And
yeah.
So I apologize to any families I offended.
But I enjoyed it just because I got to call you out on it publicly. And,
thanks.
You and drag you for a little bit.
Thanks, Trumbull.
Yeah.
You son of a bitch.
I love you, Darren.
Oh, okay. All right. And I guess that's our one-year episode. That's it. Anything to plug, anything to promote? How do you want to wrap this baby up?
Just the usual. You can follow us on Twitter. I've mentioned it several times, at SNL Nerd Show. We've also got a Facebook page, SNL Nerds. You can follow me on the Twitter, at Trumbull Comic. And what the hell, I'll spell that. TRUMBULL. And the word comic. And Darren, you are also on Twitter and Instagram.
I am. And you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Darren Credible, D-A-R-I-N Credible. Coming up, I got a show on the 28th, the season premiere date. I'll be in my hometown of Queens, New York, on a storyteller show at the Queens Theater in Flushing Meadow, Corona Park. All the info is on my website, DarrenCredible.com.
All right. And you can also check out the other shows on the Non-Productive Network and just check it out. You can find other stuff. If you like the show, you probably like something else that we do. You can contribute to our Patreon on there and indicate that you're contributing because of the SNL Nerds, and we'll get a little chunk of that, and you'll get a little bonus stuff. So
here.
That is about it. We will see you next week for the season 45 premiere. This is exciting.
Woody Harrelson, hosting for the fourth time.
And who is the musical guest? I don't remember.
Billie Eilish.
Yes, Billie Eilish.
Yeah, she was...
That's a guy? That's a girl?
It's a girl.
Okay.
Oh, boy.
I've said before, this show is just going to be a document of me slowly losing touch with all of modern pop culture.
That's right. Dan will be like, why aren't the monkeys on this show?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
I want to hear Herman's Hermits.
Why no Lawrence Welk? Why? Why? Anyway, for more cutting-edge topical references like this, tune in next week and all the weeks after.
Absolutely.
And until then, nerds out.
This has been a Non-Productive Media presentation. Executive producer, Frank Hablawi. This program and many others like it on the Non-Productive Network is distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license. Please share it, but ask before trying to change it or sell it. For more information, visit non-productive.com.